The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Peggy, we kind of have Wall Street royalty on this
yes.
morning because there's a lineage here that you generally don't get because Tom's parents, Sherman and Marion, created the McClellan Oscillator in 1969, and their son, Tom McClellan, is with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike.
And, all right, before I get into what you think about what's going on, because I know everybody's been talking to you all week long, could you describe the McClellan Oscillator to the average investor who is not a technical chartist, who actually doesn't use technical of any kind, but is there a simple explanation of what the oscillator does?
Sure. We look at the number of advancing and declining stocks every day. Some people talk about the AD line, which is a cumulative measure of what those numbers have been right. doing. The McClellan oscillator acts like an accelerometer for the advanced decline line. It tells you how fast it's moving up or down, what the change of direction and how energetic that is.
Well, what direction is it moving now?
Well, it's negative today because we've got big negative breadth. Just about 2,000 more declining issues than advancing ones today, right at the moment. And that's an acceleration downward. The McClellan oscillator is negative today. it can get to overbought and oversold extremes, which have different meanings, actually. If it gets really, really high, that tends to show initiation of a strong new uptrend that's going to continue. If it gets really, really low, that tends to show conclusion of a downtrend. It's
wow.
not really, really far yet to give us either kind of indication.
Okay, so it's still kind of in the middle there somewhere. So it's still within has it been in a trading range, Tom? Because the market certainly has. Have you been locked in a trading range as the market has this year?
You know, since March, the S&P 500 has only been in a 4% range. Try to make money as a market timer with that level
wow.
low level of volatility. Other indices are doing other things, but the big S&P 500 is just about as flat and narrow as it can possibly be.
Wow. What is your thoughts on the market? As you know, you have a lot of history in this. What are your thoughts about where this market is headed? Are we headed for the long-awaited correction that you know everybody's been talking about since 2011? Or do you think that this is just a pause that kind of refreshes and will move higher?
Well, I want to start by shaking some people up and tell all your listeners. Forget this really silly idea that 10% is a correction and 20% is a bear market. That is the most useful piece of market insight that has ever been invented. It's horrible. It's not true. It doesn't work, and it doesn't help you know what to do. So just let that go and forget about it. A correction is any movement of prices that is against the trend direction. So if you're in an uptrend and you go down a little bit, that is a correction. You can also have a correction upward if you're in a downtrend. So a correction is any movement that's against the trend.
Okay.
A bear market is when the trend is downward, and we're fixing to have one of those starting right about now and lasting into 2016.
Okay, so you think we are, based upon what you're seeing, that we are heading into a bear market now?
Yes, into what I would call a bear market. Whether anybody else would agree with their own definition, that's their own problem, but it's going to be a downtrending market into early 2016.
Okay. And I know I've got some traders out there, so just in case you want to call, the phone number is 844-305-7800. That's 844-305-7800, because you were really talking to a man here that really knows his trading. All right, Tom, I want to ask you a question, because this is something that's come up many times on this show. I don't believe that most people can time the market. I think the average investor is better served being a little longer term hold, maybe buying some good solid stocks, and you know, not necessarily riding the horse down till it dies, but I don't think most people are capable emotionally of market timing. What is your thought on that? You may disagree with me, but I just want to know what you think.
Well, when you're an investor, you have four decisions to make. What are you going to invest in? How much money are you going to invest in that? When are you going to buy? And when are you going to sell? So that of those four questions, two of them are when questions. And so if you're going to abandon all control over two out of the four factors, you're really giving up a lot of control. And really, you can't determine what price you're going to pay. The market's going to set the price that you buy and sell at. You can only control when you pull the trigger. And so trying to become the master of that is probably the most useful thing that a person can do. You were correct in saying it's really hard.
It's hard,
because especially if you try to use the fundamental factors that we are all told are supposed to matter, those don't work particularly well. You have to look at other things that actually do matter. And people have to let go of their belief system in order for it to work.
Okay. I believe we have a caller, don't we, Peggy?
We do have a caller. We've got Chris from Denver. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was going to ask for guests. I appreciate his insight about potential bear market starting going into 2016. The question I have for him then is, what would you recommend someone does that has a portfolio with a decent percentage in equities? Do they start to gradually sell off? I think, I agree with what you guys stated, that timing the market is almost impossible. And I think it's kind of always a catch to me too. What do you, we got a good bull market. Does one try to predict the bear market and get mostly in the cash and then try to time it once the corrections happen? I found that incredibly difficult to do.
I do too. So what do you think, Tom?
You've stated the question really well, and it is a hard challenge. Some people are not up for the temperament of being able to exit and then look for the reentry, because when you get out, and you have to also get back in at some point. That's two things you got to get right, and it is hard. I can't give you an individual recommendation without knowing more about your personal situation and your tax situation and your temperament and what you're going to be able to tolerate. But I just make my living trying to figure out what the trend direction of the market is, and I'm seeing a downward trend that's going to be affecting every equity price and going into early next year, and I really don't want to stay long to be part of that.
Well, let me ask a question that might help our caller and help everybody else listening. Does what you do measure the depth of the correction? In other words, can you tell us whether or not you think it's going to be a deep one, going 20-25% or more? Or do you think that we're just at a downward trend that, a downward trend could take us down 3-5% and still be in a downward trend? That's a whole lot different to live through than a 20-25% one.
You're exactly right. And forecasting the magnitude of a move is much harder than getting the direction correct. The magnitude can be affected by a lot of things that haven't been determined yet.
Right.
As an example, back in 2001, we had a forecast published in our newsletter of a down move in September of that year that was due to see a bottom between the 17th and the 21st of September. Well, we had no idea that idiots were going to crash planes into buildings, which amplified the magnitude of that move a huge amount on 9/11. And afterwards, but the timing of the bottom was still in keeping with when it was supposed to arrive. So I can't tell you what decisions the Fed's going to make or the ECB's going to make that all could amplify or minimize the magnitude of the move. All I can tell you is that the direction is downward into 2016, and it looks like it has the potential to be a meaningful one. Probably not as meaningful as the 2007 and 8 bear market. Probably not quite as meaningful as 2001 to 2002, but one that'll get your attention and that I don't want to be a part of.
Okay, yeah, because either one of those certainly would get our attention. Holy cow, I don't think anybody wants that again. I tell you what, Tom, hang on, because we're going into a break. Love to talk to you a little bit more about when did this start? I mean, when did you see this turning down? So stay with us, folks. We have a great show for you today. We've got Tom McClellan with us. We're back in just a few moments. You're listening to Straight Talk Money, where we bring you the wisdom of Wall Street each and every day. Back in a minute.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We've got Tom McClellan with us today. Tom is part of the family that created the McClellan Oscillator. Tom, why don't we do a little commercial for you here? What do you have for the folks? How can they reach you? How can they see what you do and maybe sign up?
Best way to go is to go to our website, where we have a whole lot of free information. We have an entire learning center full of articles. Our website is mcoscillator.com, so it's the contraction of McClellan Oscillator, kind of like a McNugget. Just remember MC Oscillator, or they can do a Google on Tom McClellan and you'll find me.
Okay.
And we have two different subscription publications, a twice-monthly newsletter, and we also have a daily edition. It comes out every day, the market trades for people that want more frequent information. and there's samples that they can take a look at there.
Okay. And by the way, folks, if you're looking for just pull up Tom's name, it's MC capital CLELLAN. Tom, quickly, because we don't have much time, when did the oscillator and your and the other tools that you use begin to indicate that it was time to maybe start exiting the market? When did it start predicting what's happening today?
Well, we've been seeing this coming on our radar for almost a year. There's a great tool that we use that looks at data published by the CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. They call it the Commitment of Traders Report. And if we look at the commercial traders' net position in euro-dollar futures, which is an interest rate product, not a currency product, that net position gives us a model a year ahead of time of what the stock market's going to do. It's eerie, the correlation.
And that's called the Commitment of Traders Report?
Yeah, and the data is buried deep within that, and you have to know how to parse it out and figure out which fields to look at and which items. But you're looking at what the commercial traders, the big money banks, what they are doing in euro-dollar futures, which is, like I said, an interest rate product. It's dollar-denominated time deposits in European banks. So it's basically looking at LIBOR interest rate futures. And that tells you a year ahead of time the direction of movement for the stock market. So we've seen this August peak that's due now and that we're looking for, and the decline in the end of the year. We've seen that for almost 12 months ahead and known that it was coming and had time to get our readers ready for it. Tough to see something a year out on the horizon say, oh, that's going to be significant, and then you got to wait around to trade it. But we've been watching for it and getting ready for it, and the market seems to want to get an early start on heading downward now. The China worries and the Greece worries have really been putting a drag on the market, and the market seems to be tiptoeing a little bit over the line and getting an early start on going downward. But we're not even yet to the ugly part of the decline.
It's hard to be patient, and you really have to be patient if you see something that far ahead. Now, you just said something that kind of struck me. We're not even yet to the ugly part of the decline. Does your work tell you when we might be hitting into that? If not, what does ugly look like to you? Are we talking about, I mean, how big of a decline are you looking for?
Well, we should see a rapid downward acceleration about mid-September. Mid to late September, and then it'll just keep cruising downward after that. September really should be the ugliest part, and we have a Fed meeting coming up in mid-September where we don't know what they're going to do or what they're going to say. It'll probably be the wrong thing for whatever it is, because they have a pretty good track record of doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. But we also have the normal seasonality of September, which is coming into play, and right now the market's movements are very, very tightly correlated to the normal annual seasonal pattern, not quite in terms of the magnitude of the movement, but each of the dance steps is occurring at the right time. So we're seeing a market that's very much in tune with the seasonal pattern, and September is a really seasonally weak period, so I'm expecting that September is going to hold a lot of bad surprises for people. I don't know exactly what the news items will be that will justify those negative surprises for stock prices. I just know that that's when it's due to be arriving. We should still have one more pop upward before we start doing the ugly stuff, though, so I'm not saying it's time to get out of everything today. We're looking for a pop upward into next week that'll get everybody saying, "Oh, never mind, it's not going to be bad." And once we get sentiment turned back and get people leaning to the bullish side too far, then the market can really pull the chair out from under them.
Yeah, you're right, because that's exactly what they like to do. I mean, they like to pull the chair out from underneath you. They don't like to give the average investor a warning. They like to just smack them upside the head. So. All right. Now, do you look at it as a market as a whole, or do you look at sectors? Like, is there a sector that you like in this?
We really like gold right now. There is an important cycle in gold prices that lasts about 13 and a half months, and it was due to bottom in August. It bottomed a little bit early, which is not unusual. It's usually plus or minus a month of it from its ideal date, so it bottomed in July. Gave us a nice 10-day period to pick the bottom and happy to have jumped into the bullish side on that, and we're looking for the initial upward phase of that 13-and-a-half-month cycle is right now, and that's usually when the gains are to be made in gold.
Okay. Any other – gold's kind of a narrow thing. A lot of people don't like gold. Anything in the market, or are you just staying away from the market completely?
From the stock market, yeah, it's going to be a general decline that should affect most sectors. And it's because of a worldwide liquidity crisis that's going to be coming – There's just not enough money. Even though the Fed's created $4 trillion worth of new money, that's still not enough to keep us from having these episodic liquidity crises that come along.
Now, do you think it'll last for a long time? In other words, when we pull back, assuming that it all plays out the way you think, and next spring we're much lower than where we are now, are we likely to go sideways at that point, or do you think we're going to bounce like we did in 08 and 09? I mean, that's market turned in March of 09 and just started heading north.
Well, 2016 is going to be an election year, and election years are kind of funny. When you're typically the third year of a presidential term that we're in right now is an up year, and we're not seeing much of an upward movement. Election years are really iffy, and especially when you've got a second-term president in office as we do right now, because we are guaranteed to get somebody new in the election in 2016, and investors don't like the unknown. It doesn't matter how severe any of the unknown outcomes might be, just not knowing gets everybody nervous and upset, and so that's why they tend to hold on to their wallets during the election year, and then once the election is passed and once they know who the guy or the gal is going to be that's going to be the president, then they feel much better. So we got that a year-long period of anxiety and sideways movement, which is great,
right,
if you can buy low and sell high and repeat all year long, but it's not such a great time for investors. But we're not yet done taking the market higher. We still look for the major averages to continue up into 2017 and 18. Beyond that, though, it's going to be really hard as all the baby boomers are retiring and wanting to cash in their stock and bond portfolios and looking for all the echo boomers who are only in their 20s right now to buy all their stock portfolios and their McMansions, and there's just not going to be enough wealth being created by those guys yet to make that a smooth process.
Yeah, you're right. The millennials be hard. Listen, thank you so, Tom, thank you so much for being with
this
us today.
Incredible.
It's been an incredible session. We really, really appreciate it. We hope you'll come back, and thank you for getting up and being with us so early.
No trouble. Nice to talk to you guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.